You sample your blood in the Theranos machine, and it has inflammation markers for joint health. And what do you know? Next thing, Google's showing you all these ads for joint replacement surgery or what have you. That's what it's all about, is spying on you by claiming to be saving your life. If you don't yet know the story of Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes, you need to understand this just incredible, astonishing story about fraudulent science and how fraud is rewarded in our twisted society. Elizabeth Holmes is a con artist. She's a fraud, kind of like Elon Musk, by the way. He'll be exposed later on. He'll go down later. But Elizabeth Holmes has already gone down. Her company, which was at one point valued at $9 billion, Theranos, has been dissolved. It was dissolved in 2018. And Elizabeth Holmes and her CFO, her partner in this scheme, are facing criminal prosecution for all kinds of fraud, all kinds of financial crimes, deceiving investors, you name it. Investors lost over $900 million in investment cash because she told a story that the world wanted to hear. The story was that with one drop of blood from your finger, that she could miniaturize hundreds of clinical blood tests and put them all into one small machine about the size of a desktop computer server or workstation, let's say. And that device would give you results for hundreds of blood tests very inexpensively and very quickly, and that these would become ubiquitous, that everyone would have one in their home, not just in pharmacies and hospitals and doctor's offices, but even in your own home, and that you could test your blood every day. And she told a sob story about a family member who died of cancer, and she was a female entrepreneur, of course, so she got on the cover of Fortune magazine, and she was on the cover of, I don't know, dozens of mainstream magazines, and she was celebrated as the next Steve Jobs. And she thought she deserved that. In fact, she took all these photos of herself, always wearing a black turtleneck for some reason, because she thought she was the next Steve Jobs. She dropped out of Harvard and then founded this company by convincing mostly wealthy old guys to give her hundreds of millions of dollars, which she used to set up a massive fraud, a scheme where she deceived people into thinking that she had miniaturized all these blood tests and that she was going to revolutionize medicine. Now, her plan and her claim was that she could take all these blood tests that normally require large amounts of blood. That is, you know, when you get a blood draw, they take quite a lot of blood, maybe a scary amount of blood. You know, you can see it filling the tubes. You're like, whoa, hey, you're going to leave any blood for me to use? So they fill all these tubes with blood. They send them off to the lab. The lab then has what are typically called workbench assays, which are different methods to run different tests to detect your blood for enzymes or heavy metals or certain microbiology or blood platelets and so on and so forth. Hundreds of different tests. Some of these tests can be predictive of certain diseases. Some of them show contamination results. Some of them show liver function and so on and so forth. These are all done typically on a workbench using different chemical processes and pipettes and people doing this manually with some automation about moving the vials around with barcodes and things like that. So there's quite a bit of automation in companies like LabQuest. But she, Elizabeth Holmes, had promised to miniaturize and automate all of this so that you only needed one drop of blood to do hundreds of tests. And she was going to put all that into one small machine. That was her promise. And it's often said by analysts who look at this and how this whole thing collapsed that she was going to fake it until she could make it. She knew the technology didn't exist to do what she had promised investors. So she was faking it. And when they would have investors come into the Theranos offices, they would fake it. They would draw blood, one drop of blood from that person's finger, and they would put the blood in this machine. And then they would take those investors out on a tour of the lab, of the facility. And when they left the room, then a couple of scientists would rush in, grab the lab sample, the blood sample out of the machine, take it to a workbench and do workbench assays and dilute the blood and run some, you know, automated machine analysis and so on. They would get the results through a traditional clinical method, and then they would hurry up and bring back those results and plug them back into the machine. And then Elizabeth Holmes would after doing the tour with the investors, she would bring them back into the room and she would go to her machine and pull out, oh, here's your results. The machine did it. And then show them the results. The whole thing was smoke and mirrors. Just like much of what happens in the pharmaceutical industry and the vaccine industry today, by the way, and I'll get to that in a second. But she fooled everybody. I mean, some of the biggest names in investing, some of the biggest names in venture capital, some of the so-called smartest people in the world who have made other investment decisions that were quite good. I mean, some of these people are billionaires, right? And they gave her all this money. They thought she was going to change the world. Well, it turns out that you can't miniaturize hundreds of blood tests into one small machine that uses only one drop of blood. The technology doesn't exist. She didn't care. She was going to fake it until she could come up with the technology. Well, that's fraud because she was lying to investors. Now, just to explain this, you know, I'm a lab scientist. We work with pipettes all the time. We do mass spectrometry. We do liquid chromatography. We run ICP-MS instruments, triple quad mass spec, you name it. Now, I can tell you that to run an ICP-MS analysis, which gives you heavy metals results, I need about 3 milliliters of liquid. But to run a mass spec analysis looking for, let's say, glyphosate herbicide, I only need 2 microliters of liquid. That's a big difference. But different tests require different volumes of liquid in order to get results. And the more sensitive your instrument, the smaller amount of liquid you need. So in order to run all these tests on one drop of blood, what Elizabeth Holmes really needed were extremely sensitive instruments. In other words, instruments that are probably 3 orders of magnitude more sensitive than what instruments are capable of today, given the amount of blood that they need today. Now, in order to have more sensitivity in instruments, I'll give you the mass spec instrumentation as a good example. To have more sensitivity means you need to lower background noise. Well, to lower background noise, in the case of mass spec, you need much more powerful vacuum pumps, because it's vacuums that pull everything out of the air, making sure that your ion stream of ionized molecules or ionized elements, in the case of ICP-MS, that ion stream has no background molecules to collide with and give you noise. It's actually, in laboratory analysis, what you're looking for is the signal-to-noise ratio. If you have a good signal-to-noise, you have good results. But if you have too much noise, because you don't have a strong enough vacuum, then you can't really see the signal because it's lost in the noise. So signal-to-noise ratio is what you need. And in order to eliminate noise, you need bigger and bigger vacuum pumps. So what Elizabeth Holmes was trying to do with one drop of blood would have actually taken about a room full of vacuum pumps to create so much vacuum, I should say, you know, a complete lack of anything, a very strong vacuum, that there's almost no background. And then you could have a signal-to-noise ratio that might be able to accomplish what she was looking for. Now, not all the methods use mass spec. I'm just using that as an example. Some methods use chemical assays, some use ELISA techniques, some are genetic techniques, PCR, replication, what have you. But the principle is the same. To get more sensitivity, you need bigger and bigger instruments. But what she was telling investors was that she was going to make her instruments smaller and smaller and smaller. So she was defying the laws of physics. But she had a good story, and the liberal media ate it up. And they said she was the brightest woman in the world. She's going to change healthcare. She's going to slash the cost of preventive medicine. She's going to revolutionize the world. And she was considered to be a genius. She was lying the whole time. In fact, her ideas violated the laws of physics. But she didn't care. The investors kept giving her money, and she kept receiving the applause and looking like the savior of humankind. So that's the story that happened. And yet, eventually, you can't fight the laws of physics. So the whole thing collapsed because whistleblowers inside her company contacted the accreditation agencies that accredit laboratories, clinical labs that handle blood. And they blew the whistle. There was a surprise inspection and audit, and the whole thing fell apart from that point. The massive fraud was exposed. The whole thing collapsed. The company was dissolved. And Elizabeth Holmes and her CFO were criminally charged and are currently facing those criminal charges. Now, let me give you some additional analysis. So everything I've told you so far is found in an HBO documentary on this, as well as other sources that you can find online. I strongly suggest that you watch that HBO documentary. It's very well done. And even though I don't recommend HBO, generally speaking, because their programming is very evil and in some cases almost demonic, it's crazy, I recommend you watch this documentary on HBO, because what you will learn about the capacity of society to celebrate fraud in the sciences will astonish you. One thing that I've learned as a food scientist, and as someone who has been routinely banned and demonized, slandered, lied about constantly, is that the more you tell the truth, the more you are punished. The more you lie, the more you're celebrated. So in our society, telling the truth is an act of treason because we live in an age of deceit. Telling the truth is what I do. We find lead contamination in food products and nutritional supplements. In fact, just the other day, we found over 5,000 parts per billion lead in probiotic supplements sold by Amazon.com, with over 3,000 parts per million of aluminum. In other words, it's basically a toxic supplement of lead and aluminum, and Amazon is selling it as a probiotic supplement. Why are we the only lab in the world that found that? Because we tell the truth, which means we are banned and we are censored. If you lie about everything and you say, hey, everything that Amazon.com sells is perfectly safe and it's all good, buy more, Jeff Bezos loves you. If you say that, you will be celebrated. In fact, if you lie big enough, like Elizabeth Holmes did, you'll be made a billionaire. Her ideas were total quackery and bunk. She violated the laws of physics. She lied to the world and she lied to her investors. And that's why she's probably going to go to prison at some point, as she should. But I'm here to tell you, well, a couple things. Number one, what she did is nothing compared to the vaccine industry. The vaccine industry is running a massive fraud, a science fraud on a scale that's 1,000 times bigger than Theranos. In the vaccine industry today, I can tell you as a fact, the science is fabricated. It's a massive fraudulent scheme. The vaccines don't work. The antibodies are not generated from the vaccines. In fact, there were whistleblowers who worked for Merck, two virologists that filed a False Claims Act with the federal government several years ago. And in that False Claims Act, which was an under oath document they had to swear to, they stated that they were ordered by Merck management to spike the blood samples of human subjects with animal antibodies in order to fake like the mumps and measles vaccines were working so that the FDA would approve those vaccines as having 95% efficacy. It was all faked. What they did is they harvested antibodies from animals and then they spiked the human blood samples. And so then the FDA approved the MMR vaccine. The MMR vaccine is a hoax. It does not work. It's all based on fraudulent science. But because the lie is something that's culturally accepted, it is celebrated everywhere. And anyone who questions that lie is censored and silenced, slandered, and demonetized. I've been banned by YouTube, I've been banned by Facebook, and banned by Twitter, everybody. And in fact, I've been banned so much I had to build my own video platform, Brighteon.com, which is probably where you're watching this video. Actually, it's an interesting thing, you know. I decided instead of just complaining about being banned that I would build a better version of YouTube, and that's what we're in the process of doing. We still have a lot of, you know, steps yet to go. It's not as good as YouTube yet, but it is something that allows freedom of speech, especially on issues of science and medicine and whistleblowers. So if you're a whistleblower and you have something important to say about the science fraud that you see in the vaccine industry or the pharmaceutical industry or even in the nutritional supplements industry, use Brighteon.com. Create a channel for free, upload your video, and you'll have an audience there and you won't be censored. Just a little plug for Brighteon. But the vaccine industry is a massive criminal enterprise. In fact, there's one vaccine researcher named Poul Thorsen. P-O-U-L, I think is how you spell his first name. It's not Paul, it's Poul Thorsen. And he absconded with millions of dollars in federal grant money for vaccine research, and he fled to Europe, where he continues to live as a fugitive from the law. He worked with the CDC and Emory University, and he's the one who supposedly proved that thimerosal, which is a mercury-based preservative in vaccines, does not cause any health problems. His research continues to be cited today by the mainstream media and vaccine propagandists, you know, all over, who are just pushing vaccines and saying they're safe. This guy is a criminal felon. He's a fugitive from justice, and his research continues to be cited. Turns out he fabricated everything. He made it all up, and that's why he fled the country with CDC research money, by the way. And again, the media will never report that. You will only get that from the independent media. But Paul Thorsen, he was like the early version of Elizabeth Holmes, except Elizabeth scammed people in a much more successful way. Elizabeth Holmes' scam was, she's a big thinking kind of scammer slash con artist. She was able to scam people out of hundreds of millions of dollars, while Paul Thorsen was only able to scam a couple of million dollars from the government while he fled to Europe, where he's living today. Isn't that interesting that there's no interest in the U.S. bureaucracy to go find this guy and arrest him and bring him back to face justice? No interest whatsoever, because they don't want to expose the criminal fraud of the vaccine industry. But he's out there, and he's a fraudster. He's the Elizabeth Holmes of the vaccine industry, except he was never worth billions of dollars. So that's the first part of this. Just understand that everything you see about Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes is 1,000 times worse in the vaccine industry. And much of that is true in the pharmaceutical industry as well. Most of their clinical trials are total frauds. Antidepressants don't work. Did you know that? They don't work. And they run these clinical trials in very deceptive ways, where they remove people from the pool of the, you know, testing groups. They do randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. So they'll have a group that gets the medication, and they'll have a group that doesn't get the medication. Well, when people start to get sick in the group that has the medication, they become suicidal or they commit suicide, they get magically removed from that group, just deleted from the trial, to make sure that the side effects match the control group, the placebo group. So it's all manipulated. It's all massive fraud to make sure that the FDA approves drugs that don't work and that in many cases are extremely dangerous. SSRI drugs, for example, you know, the antidepressant drugs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, they are associated with suicidal tendencies and actual school shootings. A lot of the school shooters over the past 2 decades, I guess, were on psychiatric drugs, antidepressant drugs. And sometimes they do the mass shootings while they're on the drugs, and other times they do the mass shootings when they're coming off the drugs, when you have the highest window of risk of extreme reactions, mental reactions to the drugs. But the FDA says, oh, it's all fine. And the FDA allows the drug companies to run their own clinical trials. Did you know that? Did you know the FDA doesn't do a single test of any pharmaceutical? They don't. The FDA doesn't run the test. The FDA allows the manufacturers and the promoters of the drugs to run their own tests and then to selectively report the tests that they want to the FDA. So the test results are cherry-picked, and the tests are fraudulent themselves, because the participants in the trials are also cherry-picked based on the results they get. The whole thing is a massive scam and fraud. Again, 1,000 times bigger than anything Elizabeth Holmes pulled off, Theranos. But the pharmaceutical industry funds the mainstream media. 70% of the ad revenues that currently fund CNN, you know, even Fox News, and all across the media, 70% of revenues come from drug companies who are selling fraudulent products that actually make people sick, not well. And that's a simple truth that a lot of people are starting to wake up to now. But you'll never have the media report the truth about the drug companies, because the drug companies are paying them money through advertising. And the FDA legalized that advertising, direct-to-consumer advertising, as it's called, DTC, in 1997. And the United States of America is one of the very few countries in the world, I think only New Zealand allows this as well, where you can even advertise directly to consumers. It's an illegal practice everywhere else around the world. And in fact, if President Trump wanted to help American consumers and reduce the price of prescription drugs and block the, you know, the fake science revenues for the media, what he should do is order the FDA to outlaw direct-to-consumer drug advertising. Because it makes no sense for drug companies to advertise directly to consumers. Consumers aren't qualified to diagnose a condition or to prescribe a drug. Only doctors can make those decisions. So advertising should be limited to, you know, doctors, medical journals, not the general public. But that's another topic and another debate for another day. Here's something else you need to know. Getting back to Elizabeth Holmes. And this is my own opinion, and this may sound, I don't know, interesting. But Elizabeth Holmes, I don't know if you've ever heard her talk. Now, you've probably seen her pictures because she loved to photograph herself in a black turtleneck, where she's like the pale white female Steve Jobs. And there's something totally psychotic about this woman. You notice she never blinks her eyes. She never blinks. But have you ever heard her talk? I'm serious when I say the first time I heard her talk, I thought I was listening to a transgender demon.
People don't even know that they have a basic human right to be able to get access to information about themselves and their own bodies.
But Elizabeth Holmes just seems to be totally into taking blood from everybody while she talks like a demon. And you have to wonder, if it wasn't her plan, she was funded by globalists. She had on her board of directors, I mean, Henry Kissinger, all right, so do the math. She had General Mattis on her board of directors. I mean, she had the who's who of Silicon Valley and the tech giants, all these people. She was hobnobbing around with the Clintons. And in fact, she had as her attorney, one of Clinton's biggest, most feared attorneys. Okay. And they would hire teams to stalk and intimidate employees who were about to speak out. You know, whistleblowers would be hunted and stalked. I'm not making this up. You got to watch the documentary on HBO. It'll blow your mind. But you got to wonder if this was actually a giant scheme to sample everyone's blood and then to build a database of your DNA. That's what this probably was all about. The whole thing was a giant fraud saying, oh, we're going to run your blood test. But what if it was really about building a DNA database of all human beings and taking your blood and having a biometric database of your genetics and your blood profile and then getting it from you on a regular basis? Oh, here, you do a drop once a week. Get an update on your heart health, they might say. Get an update on your liver enzymes. Who wouldn't want to know, right? It's just a little pin prick on your finger once a week, and you just put that in the machine, and you're supposed to get results. But what they're really doing is building a blood database, which would be shared with who? Quiz time. It would be shared with the deep state. The same people that run Google, which is a front for the NSA. Google's building a psychological profile of you by tracking and monitoring your search terms, the websites that you visit, the videos that you watch, all this stuff. They're building a psych profile, while Theranos would build a physiological and genetic profile by sampling your blood. And then they would combine all of this, and with your blood sample, they would know a lot about you. Guess what? They would know your country of origin. They would know your racial makeup. They would know your gender. Yes, gender is determined by your chromosomes, not by fairy tale wishes, by the way. So they would know all these things about you. They would know your risk of heart disease, your risk of cancer, your risk of liver disorders, your kidney disease, all these things, even inflammation markers that might be indicators of arthritis or even neurological disorders. And then they would use this combined with the psych profile from Google to sell all this information to not only the deep state, but the marketing companies, the corporations. You sample your blood in the Theranos machine, and it has inflammation markers for joint health. And what do you know? Next thing, Google's showing you all these ads for joint replacement surgery or what have you. That's what it's all about, is spying on you by claiming to be saving your life. Now, finally, I'm gonna wrap this up with a prediction about Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk is a massive con artist. Elon Musk. He goes out there and just fabricates everything and makes these outlandish claims, and the media would eat it up. I mean, Elon Musk could announce nationwide electric car power stations that are powered by diesel generators, and the media would say, that's genius. That's brilliant. Wow, why didn't we think of that? Diesel generator-powered electric car recharging stations. That's going to solve all the energy problems. That's the Green New Deal right there. And the media would eat it up because there's zero skepticism in the media these days. There's no real journalism taking place except in the independent media. I mean, what journalist is asking real questions or putting Elon Musk on the spot or even Elizabeth Holmes? You know why she got away with her lie for so long? Because there was nobody in the media that asked her a real question. Like, how are you going to miniaturize a room full of lab equipment into, you know, a 24-inch form factor. How are you going to do that? What about the centrifuge? You know, what about the vial shaker? What about the pipetting automation systems? What about the vacuum pumps? How are you going to fit all that into a little box? No one asked her that because all they want to do is say, what does it feel like to be a billionaire female entrepreneur in a world run by male chauvinists? You know, it's all this virtue signaling crap. They might as well ask her, what's it like to test blood using flying, farting unicorns? And she would have said, oh, it's awesome. Thank you for your question. You know, because nothing has to make sense to these people. They're just virtue signaling and they're lying constantly. It's just a massive fraud, just a bunch of con artists. The journalists are con artists. They're in on the con because they have no capacity for any truth whatsoever. In fact, they're so scientifically illiterate, they don't even know what question to ask. Like, if I said, oh, this test requires 400 microliters of blood, in their mind, they would be like, what's a microliter? You know, it's like, oh, okay, no, okay, we'll explain it this way. 0.4 milliliters of blood. And then they'll say, oh, what's a milliliter? okay, let's say it this way. A smidgen of blood. How about that? You use a smidgen of blood for this test. A smidgen. Oh, okay. Yeah, they would write that up as a genius science invention. The smidgen analysis machine. You know, the smidgenator. Whatever. This is the way they would write it up because they don't know how to ask intelligent questions about this. I mean, in my lab, we use pipettes, we use centrifuge machines, we use geno grinder shakers for sample prep, methanol extraction, nitrogen dried down machines, you know, mass spec instruments, inductively coupled plasma, single quad, liquid chromatography, on and on and on. So I know, guess what? You can't shrink all that stuff down to a little tiny box. It requires a big, well, multiple rooms. We have multiple, you know, a big lab. And you have to have lots of bench space to do all this stuff. You can't just shrink it down just because you hope that you can micronize this stuff. You know, you can't just say, well, gosh, let's just, instead of using milliliters, let's just use nanoliters. Yeah, just make it happen, engineers. We have money and we have investors. Got to keep Henry Kissinger happy. Use nanoliters. Guess what? Doesn't happen because you can't just change the laws of physics. So, people, you want to make sense of the world, keep your head rooted in like real observations and real questions about what's going on. You should always ask intelligent questions like, whoa, why does this woman sound like a demon? That's a legitimate question. Or better yet, how exactly can 200 tests be run with a drop of blood? You know what the answer from Theranos was? It's a trade secret. Yeah, it's a trade secret. That was their way of saying, we have no idea because they're not even doing it that way. They're faking it all, but it's a trade secret because they don't want you to know they're lying. So be careful of companies like that that say, oh, it's a trade secret. Yeah, we're so much smarter than you. We figured it out. We're a female-run company and we've got brains and big investors and globalists supporting us. So you can't ask questions because it's a trade secret. Yeah. Anytime that you see that happening, take your money and run. Okay. Because you're about to get stiffed big time, screwed royally. And that's what's happening with Tesla, of course. So for all of you who are invested in Tesla, just write that money off. Your money's going to burn up faster than one of their electric cars. It's going to melt down faster than one of their lithium ion battery systems. You're going to lose all that money because you believe a lunatic con artist who is building cars that don't work. So you're going to lose all that money. And, you know, whatever, you think he can land rockets, vertical landed rockets, everything? Okay. Maybe you don't know all that film footage is faked. I don't know. But maybe you'll learn at some point when you lose all your money, like, wow, nothing he said was real. Like Elon Musk is he's like the Elizabeth Holmes of the electric car industry. Amazing how that works. Oh, and one more final thought, by the way. So electric vehicles are real, and Elon Musk is going to be made obsolete in about 2 years by Volkswagen and Chrysler, Daimler, whatever, Mercedes-Benz, these companies, Ford even, because even Toyota, because those companies have processes of quality control. They have ISO accreditation of their manufacturing, logistics, and quality control processes. And because of that, they are going to put out much more reliable, better engineered electric vehicles that will make the Tesla obsolete. Tesla cars will not even be seen anywhere. They won't even be sold for scrap. Even their scrap value will be almost zero in about 5 years. Mark my words. And all the other car companies, especially the European car companies, will dominate the market. And also Toyota as well. So that's what's coming. If you want my prediction, you'll see. You'll see what happens. It's so obvious at this point. I don't know why other people can't see it. Like, who's giving money to Elon Musk? People who are believing a narrative instead of reality. That was Elizabeth Holmes. She's like, we're going to change the world by taking your blood. And Elon Musk is like, we're going to change the world because everything's going to be green and we're going to save the planet, save the environment. But because you believe his dream, you never question the physics and the cause-effect reality of what his products are. So you've been blinded by your passion and you're unable to ask rational questions. And that will be your downfall if you're an investor. Just so you know, you need to take your emotions out of it. You know, you need to be a rational person, ask some real questions. Now, maybe you think everything I said here, not all of it is, in your view, rational. That's fine, but at least ask questions. Ask questions about what I said. Ask questions about Elon Musk. Ask questions about Theranos. Ask questions about all these other tech companies that are valued at billions of dollars and they own nothing. They have no products like Uber. Uber doesn't even have anything except a piece of software. I mean, really, that's it. They can become obsolete overnight, and many of them will, and many of them are wildly overvalued. There's going to come a day of reckoning and a massive correction in the stock market. People are going to get burned, and they're going to turn to each other. What happened? What happened? I was told everything's going to go up forever. Well, it's because you didn't ask questions. That's why you got burned. I guess, you know, I guess it's everybody's choice. Everybody has to learn that lesson at one time or another, and some people learn that lesson in a much more expensive way than others. Maybe you're about to have a $500,000 education in a market bubble phenomena. Okay, well, after it's all said and done, you can say you got that education, and you won't have that $500,000 anymore, but you'll be you'll be a wise person at that point, at least when it comes to market bubble dynamics. So in any case, hey, believe whatever you want. Just make sure that what you believe makes sense. Fair enough. Thank you for watching. And by the way, some of this that I said here today is a little bit sarcastic. Some of it's a little bit joking. Today is a little bit of entertainment. So don't take everything I said seriously. I don't believe Elizabeth Holmes is actually a demon. She's five demons. I'm kidding. Okay, but thank you for watching, and watch more of my videos at brighteon.com. I appreciate you. I appreciate all your support, and I just want you to think for yourself. That's it. That, on a serious note, just think for yourself. Don't be swept up into these mob psychology things, because you're just going to get burned. The lemmings, going along with the lemmings is not a good way to live your life. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for watching. Most of the health products and supplements that you buy at Amazon or Whole Foods or grocery stores are never tested for glyphosate, pesticides, heavy metals, or even microbiology. At our store, healthrangerstore.com, we test everything we sell. We offer the cleanest, lab-verified products sold anywhere in the world. Healthrangerstore.com, over 700 products for health and home, all laboratory-validated and tested for your safety. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com.